Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's talk money. And our personal finance expert is Mary Holm, who joins me in the Auckland studio. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jesse.
You got some good news on KiwiSaver.
Yeah, I have. And this is actually a bit of a scoop for afternoon.
Great. We love it. I'll alert the team in the news department.
Yeah. Well, what happened is Morningstar, which is a company that does research on KiwiSaver funds and other funds around the world, around the Western world, they're having a sort of press conference right now. But the bit about KiwiSaver was going to start at 3:30. So I said, hey, can you tell me what's going to be said
Great.
A little bit in advance?
Yeah.
And so they did. Yeah. Told me what was going to be happening.
Awesome.
So I've counted sort of 4 pieces of good news on... Just knocked over the pepper, did I?
Yeah. This is my coffee hand wound coffee grinder.
Oh my goodness.
Which I make my coffee with each day before the show.
And I went and just pricked my hand in the wrong
direction.
That's
okay. It's my fault for leaving.
Luckily, we didn't spill anything. Yeah. So Morningstar's issued, had a look at what's been happening to KiwiSaver. And meanwhile, the FMA, the Financial Markets Authority, has also issued an annual report on KiwiSaver. And they're saying much the same things, thank goodness. And the first point to make is that we've got almost $100 billion in KiwiSaver now in New Zealand.
$100 billion.
Yes. The numbers back in March were $94 billion, and it'll be bigger than that by now. So it must be getting close to the $100 billion mark, which the FMA points out that just back in 2020, it was $62 billion. So it's gone from 62 to nearly 100.
Gosh.
In 3 years. That, mind you, that's partly because the 2020 number would have been right in the COVID downturn when the share markets plunged. And so the value of money in KiwiSaver was at a low then.
Yeah.
But nonetheless,
recovered pretty quickly, as I recall.
Yeah.
Six months or something?
Yes, that's right. It was a very quick recovery. The FMA also says it's 6 times as much as we had in 2013. And so there has been huge growth in the amount of money in KiwiSaver. Morningstar points out that the total dollars in KiwiSaver for everybody went down for the first time in 2022, over a year. That went down for the first time. And that's interesting because you think, well, help. KiwiSaver's been around since 2007, and there was a global financial crisis where the markets went to hell in a handbasket in the next couple of years. But at that point, people didn't have that much in their accounts and they were still putting more in all the time.
Yeah.
And so with the balances in the accounts going down, that was sort of overwhelmed by the new money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we've had 15 years of money, the balances are now way, way bigger than the new money coming in, if you see what I mean. And so now the markets, the total amount gets affected by downturns in the way it wouldn't have so much in the early days. And they're saying from now on in, as it gets bigger and bigger, the total dollars in there, that will absolutely overwhelm new dollars coming in. And so when the markets turn down, the total dollars in the funds will drop.
I'm just keeping up. But the good news the good news is, well, I was talking to someone in the industry recently. He thinks we're on the verge of something quite special in New Zealand, that that we actually have a lot of wealth now, and he thinks that we're about to enter a golden period in New Zealand because we have this sort of backstop pile of money You know, as it is in the past, when we had a recession, suddenly everything would stop. Say now there's this money that's looking for a home, and we might have the economic resilience that the building keeps getting built when things
that's interesting
turn down.
Yeah,
one theory from one person fairly high up
that's
in that industry.
Quite positive. Yes, yeah. And I counted four positive things going on. The first one was that we're increasingly putting money into growth funds, into growth and aggressive, the highest risk funds, the ones that are invested largely in shares and quite often a bit of property as well, as opposed to the lower risk ones, which are largely in term deposits and bonds. And so that trend is really happening with the increasing tendency of people to be investing in the growth funds. It's partly because a couple of years ago, the default funds, the funds which people go into if they don't choose, were moved from conservative to balanced.
Yeah.
And that has helped the whole trend of New Zealanders' KiwiSaver money being in higher risk than it used to be. But that's only partly what's going on. It's also, it would seem, that people are getting braver and putting their money in the higher risk funds because over the long term it grows faster.
Braver, or you would say getting more educated, because you would expect most people to be in KiwiSaver for the long term.
Yes.
And the recommendation is if you're in for the long term, you go for those higher, those growth funds.
Unless you're planning to take money out fairly soon for a new first home or in retirement.
Mm.
But other than that, it really is good that people are getting into the growth funds. So that's despite the fact that there was a bit of panic when in the COVID downturn. Some people moved out of higher risk then. But as we were saying a minute ago, the recovery from that was extraordinarily quick. It was only about 6 months or so before the markets turned around and went back up again. More recently, last year, the markets were up and down a fair bit and things are still not, you know, we haven't had a huge big market recovery, and that's probably more typical. But I think people are learning that if they go into the higher risk funds and they will go down, but they do come back up again, and people have got braver about it is my guess. The other factor that's going on, so there's people moving into growth, but also the growth funds themselves are growing faster than the low risk funds.
So they should.
So yes, absolutely. And Morningstar says the conservative funds over 15 years grew an average of 4.7% a year, balanced 6.1%, and growth 7%. So when you look at the long term data, you're getting faster growth in the higher risk funds, which is absolutely what we would expect. So that's good in itself, that more and more people are getting into the higher risk ones and coping with the downturns. Second thing that I thought was of note was that there's more choice for investors. There's increasing choice. You know, we've talked about KiwiSaver cryptocurrency fund and a lot more ethical funds of various kinds. There's now Craigs has all the way through KiwiSaver permitted people to invest directly in individual shares or across a range of investments. We've got InvestNow and Shares is in the market now offering a whole lot more flexibility. So if you want to choose individual shares or be in a range of different funds with different providers, you can do that through those particular schemes. So there's certainly more choice. I would say for most people, I wouldn't necessarily venture into all of that. I would just keep it simple and stay with an ordinary provider just offering a growth fund or aggressive fund.
Yeah.
But for the more sophisticated ones who want to do some fancy stuff with their investing, the options are there now. Third good news thing is fees, and this is really important. Now, Morningstar says that providers' fees have more than doubled their fee income since 2016, and you think, oh, help, that's distressing. They've got more than twice as much as they had coming in 2016, but that's largely because there's been a growth in in the amount of money in the funds, and so they're taking a percentage of the dollars that are sitting in
it
there.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The key thing is that for every dollar invested, the fees are going down. And this FMA has also noted that finally, for the first time really, across the board, well, not across the board, but on average across the board, fees have gone down. Despite the fact that more people are moving into growth funds, and growth funds tend to charge higher fees, but despite that, the fees are going down. Morningstar says over the last 6 years, conservative fees have gone down 8%, balance down a whole 22%, and growth down 16%. So the fees are going down. One reason why the balance fees are going down is because the default funds got moved into balanced, and the government said they've got to be low fees. Uh-huh. And so that certainly helped the trend.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. The providers are getting the message that people are taking notice of fees, which is something that you and I have talked about plenty of times. I think it's really good for people to watch their fees, and across the board, fees are coming down, which is great.
Your simple message on KiwiSaver, in case people haven't heard it, is if you're trying to choose a KiwiSaver fund, don't choose based on performance, choose based on fees.
Because performance doesn't necessarily continue. Yeah, if it did, of course you'd choose performance, but very often the one that did well last year does badly this year, etc. Now, there are exceptions to that, and someone was saying to me the other day, well, Milford has really had really good long-term returns, and my response to that is yes, they have. They've done really well, but I have seen research that shows that The in America, the funds that do well over 10 years do badly over the following 10 years. You know, in fact, yeah, it's really interesting, the top funds.
You're not talking down Milford.
I'm absolutely not. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Milford. All I'm saying is that just because a fund has done well, even over a long period, doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, partly because we don't, the people picking the shares might have changed. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. Yeah. But also the luck runs out in there or whatever. Yeah, so now the fourth thing that I thought was I liked to see was that there's quite a lot of international investing going on in New Zealand KiwiSaver.
Mm.
They've got the providers, when Morningstar looked at their totals, different providers, they had 9 to 18% in New Zealand shares and 30 to 50% in international shares, and I thought, yeah, that's great. And apparently in Australia, that's not true. Their super schemes there tend to have stuck to Australian shares. I mean, partly because the Australian banking shares and mining shares have done really well, and so they've said we're going to go with those, but they won't necessarily continue to do well. And I think it's really good for New Zealanders to not just be investing in New Zealand shares. I don't think that's disloyal at all. It's diversifying all our pools of wealth, and so in fact, if the New Zealand economy does badly, the country's going to be much better off if a lot of the citizens are investing overseas as well.
It's, sure.
Yeah.
Just another way of spreading your risk and diversifying, yeah.
Yes, yes. So basically my message is out to people, keep moving into higher risk unless you're going to be spending the money fairly soon. It's a really good idea. And be brave when the markets go down. Consider the wider choices and keep watching fees. Keep watching fees. Now, have we got 1 minute for a little bit of a correction from last time?
Please, take all the time you want.
Or maybe just more of an amplification. We were talking last time about how long it takes for money in KiwiSaver. It gets sent from an employer into Inland Revenue, and then they send it on to the providers. And I think I said last time that it can take a couple of months, although sometimes it seems to be quicker. And I got a letter from Matt McPherson at Sharesies, who was onto it and said, hey, Mary, that's not what's happening anymore. As of, I think, a few months ago, some months back, IRD's changed the way it handles things, and it only takes 2 or 3 business days for your money. If you're an employee, your money goes from your employer to inland revenue to the provider, and it just takes a couple of days now. So that's been sped up a lot. And I checked with IRD and they said, yes, that's absolutely right. Except the one exception is if you're new to the whole of KiwiSaver, if you've been auto-enrolled, and typically these days that must be just young people coming into the workforce, I think, because nearly everybody else will have had a go at that by now. When you get a new job, you get automatically enrolled in KiwiSaver and you've got a couple of months to say, no, I don't want to be in there, which was one of the genius features of the scheme, actually, because it's got so many people in. So with those people, if you're auto-enrolled in KiwiSaver and you're still thinking about whether you want to stay, your money is parked at IRD for a couple of months so that if you change your mind and want out, you can get the money out easily.
Yeah.
But apart from that, that goes through to providers very quickly.
So it should.
It's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Question for Mary. I switched from one provider to another provider. The balance was $261,000. It is now $243,000, and it doesn't seem to be coming back up. Should I be worried?
No.
I've just been bad luck with the timing.
Yeah, I would say it is. It's just the markets have probably gone down at that point. I mean, it could be that the choice of investments in the new provider is not as good, but most likely it's just the markets going down. Hang about and they'll come back up again.
Mary, regarding KiwiSaver, I hope you don't mind these ad-lib questions,
not
Mary.
Not at all. No,
I'm in balanced and conservative funds, and the bank officer advised me they just offset each other. Is this true? Should I revise my funds?
No, well, it depends what the person's planning to do. If they're planning to spend some of their money soon, then take it out of the conservative fund, and that makes a whole lot of sense. If they're not planning to spend it for 10 years or more, then in some ways, yes, although, I mean, it's just kind of watering down the risk by having some in conservative and some in balance. So it's not a problem.
Mm.
But, so I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. It might. You sometimes say if someone's about to retire, so they're 64, you might split it a little bit because some of the money you might want to access when you're 65. Some of it you might not want to touch till you're 75. So you have two different strategies.
That's right.
For different lumps of money.
And I've just seen some data on that. Not every provider will let you take it out of, if you're in more than one fund, they won't. Some of them will say, if you want to take $100 out and you're in two funds, we're going to take 50 out of each.
Come on.
No, they do. And in fact, next time we can look into some of that. But because quite a few of them do. But some of them, and I could bring the list in next time and say which providers are more flexible on that, because it is an important point. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Can I say one quick thing?
Yeah.
Listening to you as I was driving a Noel Coward song, he has got to be the cleverest with lyrics, with the rhyme and the lyrics.
Yeah.
And no one since has been as clever.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I was only half listening to those lyrics. Somebody was quite offended by that song.
Yes, I can see that.
They were possibly a bit dated in some of the
they were saying they don't like
to the other
Asia, they like America.
Yeah.
but the rhyming was so clever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
It's
great to see you.
Jesse.
Personal finance expert Mary Holm, who's in every couple of weeks. And if you love hearing what she's got to say about money and what to do with it, there's a link to all of her previous conversations on our podcasts page on the RNZ website. Time for the headlines now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.